Roketo world. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin. And we're holding still at the bottom of Samach Tet Amud Beit. And we're in the middle of various questions that have to do with what part of a plant we look at in terms of various things. The last thing that we spoke about was whether we go according to the ikar of a growth. And we talked about this yesterday. We're going to continue today discussing it in terms of ma'aser. We discussed it in terms of erla and kivaya karam l'chumra. And we wanted to know what would be the din l'kula. Would we be able to rely, let's say, if a plant continued to grow after the omer was already taken, was matur chadash, would we rely on the fact that the continued growth would be mutter because the ikar was mutter? So we didn't have a raya to that, whether it was actually only the chumra that we were posketing there by the cases of Arlen Koya Karen, or would we have said even the chumra? Now today, Rava has an additional question right at the bottom. Boy, Rava, how about the same question when it comes in terms of ma'asrot? What exactly is the case? Or cases like this. Echidami, Gigandi Amdinu the Asrin. And the question over there, of course, is again, there'd be no way for us to know precisely how much mice are to take, because, I mean, we've got a whole plant here. Normally, we're able to see how much grain there is. But here, we can't really measure the grain, because we were talking about replanting the actual shibboleth. So what we did is we estimated it, and we took off ma'aser based on the estimate of how much actual grain there is. Then we replanted the actual ripped-out shibboleth, shatlinu. They started to grow. Now the question is, if you're ready to say, and when it comes to the question that we had yesterday, that benogea Rabbi Shimon ben Paz, we do not say, let's take the heter that was at the basis and continue to say, it's all heter, so we won't go lakula. I have an additional question, which still leaves us a little bit in the dark about how this goes. Because you could say that we don't go according to the ikar lakula, and any new part needs to be regrown. But what about the original part? When it starts to regrow, does it can become now a new plant, and I would have to take off ma'aser again, even on the part that I, ma'aser means, of course, truma to ma'aserot, whatever it is that it's chayet, or would it only be the new growth that we would be going after? Normally, Abaye, I don't understand this question. I mean, every time that we have things that we grew, okay, and while we plant some of the seeds of what we grew, well, whatever we grow is chayev in its own new meiser, totally. I mean, this happens all the time. We always take food that is mutter for us to eat, and we took off trumas and meiseres. Now we replant seeds from that food. Now new food grows, and we need to take off trumas and meiseres again. I mean, what are you asking? You had food, you planted it, now you want to know if you have to take off trumas and meiseres? I don't get it. We always replant these things. Says Rabbi, please, there's no comparison. When we replant these things, what do? We take the seeds grow, they germinate, they're a completely new thing, and the seeds disappear. But in this case, we don't plant the seeds. We took the whole original plant, including the seeds, including the leaves, everything that was that shibboleth, right? So we have the ear of corn. So now that entire plant is growing. Now that didn't disappear. This was the original plant that was always there. Now it's bigger. But I'm asking whether the fact that it started to grow again makes it into a new plant entirely or just the part that grew. I mean, is that a reasonable question? Obviously, if we were talking about a case where a seed actually now gets built into the ground, it disappears, it decomposes in the ground and regrows, right? Obviously, I wasn't asking there. That's a completely new plant. We're talking about over here is replanting the original plant. Nothing happened to the original growth. It's just that there's an additional growth here. Now I'm asking whether that original growth becomes a new growth because of the fact that it was replanted and regrowing. So kikami boili, davar she'en saro kala. Like here, what would be the din over there? Well, I mean, we know the answer to that question. Because there are lots of things where we plant, let's say anything that's a bulb. So we plant an onion. The onion doesn't disappear. Now let's take a look at what the din is of planting an onion, okay? So Tiv Shalami Adam Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Let's say you have a litra of onions. And then, meaning that we know how much we plant. Now we can see how much we've got, okay? So we first took a litra of onions. And we took off Trumas and Maestras, we were attacking it, and now we replant it. So now the question is, I can tell you exactly how much more there is now than there was before, as I mentioned it. So when I take off the new Trumas and Maestras, that says over there, isn't this exactly this case? And it says over there, you have to take off the entire thing, because it's all considered to be a new plant. So there's your answer. It's exactly the same situation, isn't it? No, it's not at all the same situation. Anybody who wants to grow onions has to plant onions. Okay, that's the way that we grow onions. We don't take onion seeds and wait for them to germinate and regrow a whole plant. We put it in the bulb, and that's a very effective way for it to now continue. That means that the normal way to plant an onion is this way. So obviously, it's like anything else that I plant, and it's considered to be a new plant. When I take an actual stalk of wheat and I replant the stalk, right now nobody does that. That's not the way you grow wheat. So it's a completely different issue. This is not the way that you grow a grain. And because of that, maybe it would be considered to be the same old wheat that now grew new parts. You take off the new parts. I don't know. Very interesting. It's very similar to this case. There's another case like this. Let's say you have an atzitz sheino nakuf. Now remember, we know the difference between a flower pot that's got a hole at the bottom that a root can come out of, and that therefore the plant that's in it is considered to be mufuber to the karka, even if the root doesn't come out of it. We're going to be talking about the din of that root when we get to our mishnayos. But right now, the din is that if it has a hole in the bottom, it's considered to be mechuber to the karka, and if it doesn't, it's not mechuber to the karka. In which case, if you're growing things in it, there would not be a chi of midiraisa to take off trumas and maestras because it didn't grow on the ground. So now I have a question like this. Suppose you planted grain in a closed system. So it's an atzit she'eino nakuf, not connected to the ground. And you want to take off trumas and maestras from the same type of thing in another pot, right? So you want to remove from one to the other. That's what we thought that it's referring to. In which case, but this is how Rashi understands, even though it doesn't say it in the Beferish and the Gemara. So it could be that Rashi had the Girsa Atzit She'eino Nakuv, May Atzit She'eino Nakuv. Okay. But anyway, that's how he understands the question of the Gemara. In the end, we're going to come out. That's not what we're talking about. So I think that's the same question. Says Abaye, what are you talking about? If it's an Atzit She'eino Nakuv, so then it's an Atzit She'eino Nakuv. I don't understand. So then it's Chiyuv is not a Diraisa. And if you have another pot like that, that's not Diraisa. Why can't you take off from two not Chiyuv and Diraisa one on the other? That doesn't make any. Oh, I know what you mean. You should explain yourself a little better. What you mean is that you grew a plant in an atzit she'eino nakuv. Now I understand how it had something to do with our other case. You grew a plant in an atzit she'eino nakuv, and then you drilled a hole in the flower pot, and then it kept growing. Ah, very cute. So now it's the same case, essentially, as replanting the grain. Oh, whew. Boy, you shouldn't explain yourself very well. So Dilma Chazur v'nakfu kam. And that's what you're talking about, was you made a hole afterwards, and then it grew. Aha. So you think that this is the same case as the case that Rava was talking about, right? Because it's the same plant, but no, it's not the same. I'll tell you why. Because in this case, you made a hole in the pot while the plant was still growing. So you changed the context of the growth, right? But there was only one act of planting. There was no change in the Maisa of Zriya. But in the Rava's case, there were two different Zriyas. You had removed it from the ground and you had taken off Truma's Maisa. So now you put it back in the ground and replanted it. That's not the case over here. Over here, it just kept growing without any change to it. So here, it's all one Zriya. And it's just that now you were mechaber to the karka, and it continues to grow more than it was before. So it's basically, you're calling that an ashrasha. But here it's literally two physical plantings because it stays zriyot. So there it makes much more sense for Rava to question whether if you replant it, you did a maisa to replant it, that maybe then it loses whatever it was called before. Now it's a plant, now it's a new plant, and it'll go according to the new Zriya. But you can't say that making a hole in a flower pot is the equivalent of an act of Zriya of the plant. So I don't think it's exactly the same. But I understand, okay, we don't have a clear-cut understanding of these issues. Boy, Rabbi Avon, I've got another issue like this. Let's take a case where you had a shibolet, and it's still attached, and you put it into the kri. So you were marcha b'kri. Now remember, but normally after you're ready, you did all of your processing, and then until the last thing you do, there's not a chiyuv of trumas amaisa. What's the gemar malacha? Gemar malacha is you take this kli called a rechet, and you smooth the top of the grain. And now you have what's called a kri. And that's called miricha. Miricha is that you smooth out the top. That's the sign that you finished dealing with it. And now it's ready to be stored. And then you went ahead and you took this shibolet and you put it together with everything else. And now it was smooth. So the question is, if you took this out as a plant, ushitala, you planted it. It has not taken root. So if it wasn't taking root, then we have that same shaila we had before. Is it in a box or is it in the ground? But what about if it did, in this case, it took root and it started to grow? So what happened to the plant if now you call it a truma while it's in the ground? Since it already went through Maricha, so there was a Gemar Malacha on it, can you call it a Truma or not when it's Bechuba to the Karka? In other words, what I could say is once you did Maricha on it, so Kivan de Mercha, you now gave it a din of Tevel. So since it was Tevel at the time that it was put back into the ground, so then it would still retain its shame Tevel. Because we don't see that you take off the shame tevel, do you? I mean, well, you replant something. If anything, you make it tevel. So in this case, you mamish gave it the din of post-melacha that it's considered to be tevel. So is it shayach to make it truma? Oh, no, we don't have time for these air aids, sorry. So we'll have to push off that missile. So now the question is, if I went ahead and I did the miruach, so then I could also do the next step and make a truma, in which case, kikora ala hashem, so then that gives it kachala. It's called truma. Or do I say no? Even tevel is changed back into non-gemar malacha tevel by replanting. Now, this is like a whole different idea. And until now, we were talking about, can you remove the whatever it is that you were metakein in the plant, right? But now the question is, Dafka, you caused it to be worse off when you had taken it out of the ground because you did Maricha. And now, when you put it back in, the question is, well, I mean, that's not going to be metakein anything. But if it's not metakein anything, then it's really Tevel that's chayev already in Trumas and Maisras. So why wouldn't I also be able to call it Truma? Or maybe you could say that, no, Even Tevel disappears. When you replant something, it's a completely new entity, and it doesn't even have its Isser. So Dilma, Kiman Shitala, the moment that you replanted it, it's considered to be something that's new, despite the fact that it was already Gemar Melocha. And that's a Shaila, whether it's possible to take off Truma on it. It says the Gemara, well, I don't understand. Isn't there a general rule? It's a very interesting thing. There's a lot of discussion where this general rule comes from a Mishnah. There are several Mishnayos. It never says the following statement openly, but there are a number of Mishnayos that seem to take for granted that you cannot make truma while it's in the ground. And those are Mishnayos that contrast the various dinim of Bikurim to truma or of Challah to truma. So the strong Mashmaut is, and different Rishonim and Achronim look for different places where this would be, but here the Gemara is taking for granted. In Cain, Matsinu Truma b'mechuber l'karka. If you could really make this thing into Truma, even though it's Mechuber, it would be against the Mishnah. Now, nobody knows where this Mishnah is 100%. But Utznan, Lo Matsinu Truma b'mechuber l'karka. The Mishnah, now, of course, that's not the Lashon of a Mishnah. We don't find Truma b'mechuber l'karka. But as I said, there are several Mishnahs that contrast the dinim of a Truma to other things that have Kedusha like Bikurim. And the clear mashmaut is the Mishnah is yesh b'bikurim hashem b'truma. So you can't find truma. Essentially, it's telling you you cannot find a case of truma that's b'chuba l'karka. Omar lay. So Abaye said, no. The Mishnah was talking about only legabi the issue of whether if a czar would eat it, would he be mechuyev to pay the coin back to chomesh, and is there a chiyuv of misi b'dei shamayim? It was not asking here. The question is entirely different because binogeach yuve misa v'chaimesh. There's no way that you could be mechayev, and why? Because Ramanashach, if you pick up this truma and you eat it, so then you're not eating it mechuba l'karka anymore, right? So that's not your question. Your question is dafka was mechuba l'karka. But if you were eating truma, was once mechuba l'karka. I mean, obviously. So that doesn't prove anything, but it's tolush. And you'll say, okay, so maybe the case is the guy bends over and starts eating the truma while it's still attached to the ground. Did you ever see anybody do that? No. I mean, there are weirdos in the world, but I never saw that. That's called botla daita yetzel kol adam. That's not the derech of achila. People don't eat things while they're still attached to the ground, and therefore, the Mishnah is correct in saying you'll never have a derech achila of truma to be mechayev you chomesh and to be mechayev misa b'dei shamayim for achilas zar of truma because this is not called achila. Anyway, so as Abaye was explaining, what we're talking about in that Mishnah is not nogei your question because over there we're only saying that even in the event that you ate it, it wouldn't be called achila because people don't eat that way. It's abnormal. So because of that, all it's saying is that somebody who actually eats truma while it's attached to the ground can't be chayiv. Not because there's no such thing as truma attached to the ground, but because there's no such achila. Because it's not a derech of achila, so that has nothing to do with this. Wait a minute, is that true? That it's considered to be abnormal to eat in that fashion, and therefore it's not called achila? I mean, there's another case where it sounds awfully abnormal to me, which is still considered to be an interesting case in which it would be metame. We've got this, Ilfa had a little notebook. I remember you weren't allowed to write down at the time. You weren't allowed to write down to teach Teresh Balpeh. You keep a notebook of your notes, of Chidushim, and so on, so that you could recall things that you had worked out, right? Now, Ilfa's notebook had in it a case that read like this. Beitzei nivlata of tahor. So what's the din of nivlas of tahor? Remember that it's not metame b'maga, it's only metame through eating. And it says over there that if there's eggs of the nivlas of tahor, and that's the part that you ate, but it wasn't eggs that it had already laid. These were eggs where the bird had died in the process of laying the egg, and the egg was still halfway in the bird, and it hadn't been laid. So it says over there, if it's miksatan b'chutz u'miksatan b'fnim, and it's still inside the bird, then mi b'fnim, if somebody eats the egg while it's in the bird, mitam'in b'gadim ha'beit ha'bliya, that achila would make him tame as if he was eating a nivlas oif ha'tohar, and his clothes would become tame. If he ate it while it was outside of the bird, then it's just considered to be the achila of a beitza, huh? And therefore would not be matame. Now, will you tell me, did you ever see anybody stick his mouth into a bird and eat the egg inside the bird? I mean, come on. So therefore, apparently, the question of whether it's the derech achila to do that is not going to make a difference in terms of these halachas, because it should be exactly the same. No, says it's not the same, says the Gemara, because talush avidi inchi da achli hachi. Remember, the egg, lamaisa, is not attached to the ground, right? So you could pick it up in that sense and eat it strangely. But to bend over and eat something that's mechuper, that already is totally butla daite. So it's not exactly the same. So talush avidi inchi da achli hachi. But be mechuper lo avidi inchi da achli hachi. Another issue that has to do with a din of a otzitz she'ino nakov. So we'd raised the question before about the, can you take off from, if you went ahead and made a hole in it, would it, you be able to take off from itself? So what about kilayim? If you plant kilayim in an otzitz she'ino nakov, that's usr. Now, Omer Rabbi, what do you mean it's usr? Any two-year-old knows that. We know that we view a planting in an otzichen or nokov as an act of planting mirabana. So, I mean, if you want to teach me something, tell me Allah, tell me something I don't know, man. What's this usr? I mean, Bishlam, if, look, Rav Tavyumi wanted to teach that you'd be lokem, akas mardus, midrabanan. If you plant kilayim, you'd get malchus, midrabanan. And that would be telling me something I don't know, because I'm not sure that the rabbanan were metakein, that there should be mamash chiyuv of malchus on this kind of thing. But just to say the word usser, he's not telling me anything. So my kamashbalan, that what? That midrabanan, it's considered to be the equivalent of a zriya, even though it's a notzich and a nokov. Everybody knows that. My kamashbalan. The midrabanan of a zriya? I mean, there's a mishnah that says that beferish in demai. It says that if somebody was torah misha'inu nokov ala nokov, if you take av truma from an otzit she'inu nokov, which is potter, on an otzit sandokov. So what would be the din if it's bichlal not considered to be zriya? No, it would be nothing, right? It's not just that you would have to take off the truma again. It's also that the truma that you took off would be nothing. Alone. But in this case, that's not what it says. Mute yourself. In this case, it says it is truma. So why is it truma? Obviously, it must be that it's considered to be a zriya midrabanan, and therefore it is still considered to be truma, but it doesn't patter. That's the point. Now, we'll see whether Richie is out of his bomb shelter or whether he's still hanging out in there.
Being a good citizen and waiting for the all clear to sound, which just happened about a minute ago, I have just come out of my cocoon.
Yes, so all right, good. I get the reference of my not being a good citizen, but go ahead. I see that these air raids, they're mercy pay after Richie. They give him exactly. a little bit of a jolt. We got the old Richie back. Apparently, oh gosh, I just didn't know it would be so expensive, but I
guess that running.
Only way to do it. Okay, so now let's talk about the halachas of Chadash. So, first of all, what type of things are usher if they are Chadash? So we have our chameshes minei dagan, the famous chameshes minim, which are chitim, seorim, kusmim, shibolet shual, And Shippon, not that it's so clear 100% the identification, but what has become the accepted halacha is that this refers to wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye. That's the way that it's usually translated, and that's the way that we're neig lahalacha. So all of those five grains are chayev in challah. So if you make a dough out of them, you're chayev to take off challah. And what's more, it doesn't have to be a single grain. It can be a tziruf, mitzarfim ze im ze. And if you have a shiur to make the challah, then there you would be chayev challah, even though it's only, half of your 43 eggs are kusmin, and half of your 43 eggs are something else. But does this mean anything? Is mitzarf with anything? Well, we're going to see. And another thing that's true about all of these five grains is that these are the five grains that are usher b'chadash before you bring the omer, and that is the pasuk wechem the kaliv the charmel lo tochu ad etzem hayom hazeh. So that's the isra of chadash, and it's usher to do kitzira of these things milifnei ha-pesach. It's a little bit of confusion here, as you can see, about the Girsaot, and you'll see as we learn the Gemara why it's confusing. And Rashi has a big discussion about probably what the correct way is, which is the way we're learning it. And therefore, you wouldn't be allowed to harvest it before Pesach, but you would be allowed to harvest it after, once Pesach is chal, which of course can't mean on Yontev, so by the time you'd be harvesting it, it would already be after the Ketzira Sa'om. How about if any of these things were already growing to the point, and we saw this yesterday, to the point that they took root? So im hishri shukodem laomer, if they had already taken root before the omer was brought, so then the omer is matir them. But if they didn't take root yet, even if you planted them, you're going to have to wait until a year later, till the next omer comes along, before you're allowed to eat them, because they're going to be usher as chodesh. Now, the Braita makes clear that when the Mishnah said mitzarfim zeim ze, it didn't mean any type is mitzarf with any type. The truth is that there are two major species, and the others are viewed as subspecies of the others. And therefore, if you're talking about kusmim, it is true that kusmim and chita are strongly related. But it's not so that kusmim would be related to sa'orim. They're considered to be a totally different species. But shibolet shu'al, which are oats, and shifon, which, as I say, is generally understood to be rye, those are considered to be subspecies of barley. And therefore, those three are mitztaref, and those first two are mitztaref. But they're not all mitztaref together. What are the names in Gemara language terms? Kusmim in our terms, says the Gemara nowadays, kusmim are called julba, and shipon is what we call dishra, and shibolet shu'al, which are oats, are called shibolet shu'al, except in Aramaic. So it's called shibolet ta'ala. They are called the foxtails. So the ta'ala is the fox.
Rabbi, this braisa is not like our Mishnah? Whether we said mitzarfim?
Explaining the Mishnah. When it says mitzarfim, each subspecies is mitzarfim. But note that there are no other types of grains that the Mishnah accepts. I mean, people generally think that like orez and dochan, I mean, they make things out of rice. And again, dochan, a big machlokas, what that is. Again, mi'ikr, the way that we are noyeg la'alocha, according to Mishnah Brura, is millet. So the dochan is millet, and the orez is rice. As I say, even that's not clear. But in any event, that's the norm. And even though people do make things out of rice flour and millet flour, as a matter of fact, I have some right here next to me, some very nice rice flour baking. So that apparently I don't have to take off challah from. How do we know that they are not considered to be grains? Omer Reish Lakish. The reason that they're not grains is because of Pesach. I have all of these wonderful dinim to Pesach that keep coming up here. And I know it because the Torah uses the word lechem binogea matzah as lechem oni. So take a look at this gzeirah shav, okay? Binogea, the din of challah. What's the lashon of the pasuk? V'haya ba'acholchem milechem ha'aretz. Now, binogea matzah on Pesach, it also talks about lechem. And it explains that you have to eat on Pesach a special kind of lechem. What is that? Lechem oni. Right? Now, what that means is that anything that is not kosher for matzah is not chayev and challah. So since the rice and millet is not kosher for matzah, therefore, it's not going to be chayev and challah. Are you insinuating that Rav Avadya Yosef was right in saying we should all be Sfardim, or what's going on around here? It sounds like we're all Ashkenazim. Why isn't the matzah kosher if it's made out of rice? Because Hasam Gufa, the reason it's not kosher, how do we know, Minolan, how do we know that matzah is not kosher if it's made out of rice? Omer Resh Lakish, when I say it's not kosher, I don't mean you can't eat it, I mean it's not matzah. And you won't be Yotze, your Chiev of Achilas Matzah. So how do I know that? Well, Resh Lakish said this, and it's also Mamash Resh, said it was a Brisa, and in the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, they also said it was a Brisa that's based on the Pasuk. Lo tochal alav chametz, shivat yamim tochal alav matzot, lechem oni. So here, what is the pasuk doing? It's putting together the isser of achilas chametz together with the chiyav of achilas matzah. Now, what's the connection between those two? Because, I mean, you certainly don't have to eat the matzah during those times. You could not eat bread of any type. So what it's telling you is that only things that could be chametz can be matzah. But if these are things that cannot become chametz, then they cannot become matzah, and they're not kosher for matzah. So dafka dvarim haba im lidei chimutz, there you'd be yotzir chiev of matzah on Pesach. But these things, rice and millet, they do not become chametz. All that happens is, if you expose them to yeast cells, is they spoil. They don't rise. And because of that, that's called sirachon. They come only to smelling up and getting ruined. They spoil. And that's not called chimutz. Chimutz is this beautiful new growth of exciting expansion with gases. And that doesn't happen to them. And therefore, from there, we learn out it's not called lechem. And if it's not called lechem as lechemoni, then it's not called lechem in terms of ba'ochel chemi lechem ha'aretz. So ultimately, it all comes from Pesach again. The inyanim of Chodesh all come from Pesach. The inyanim of what Chodesh affects all comes from Pesach. The inyanim of Reishis all comes from Pesach. An exciting opening to understanding the times better.
That calls for a drink.
It does indeed. L'chaim, l'chaim. Umitstarfim ze im ze. Now, what format does it take to be mitzarif then? Well, actually, says the Braita, any format at all. So let's say you have plain tfuah, that is one of these meaning. And you also have flour, that's another one of these meaning. And you've got some dough, that's yet a third one of these meaning. They will all be mitzarif. The format doesn't matter. And this is a cross-format siruf, in which case it doesn't matter. I can't get this darn mic to work because the Mac doesn't work. It only works with Windows. But over here, you can have a siruf no matter what it is that you're using, and all of it will be mitzarif to that shear to be b'chai of you. Lamai Hilchasa, when you say it's mitztarif, in terms of what is it mitztarif? In terms of a kezayit, meaning if you're going to eat chadash, so then a kezayit of mixed, these things will be mechayev you. Rabbi Yosef says, well, we're talking over here about chametz for Pesach. If you eat a kizayis, so this should be chayef karis. You'd have to bring a korban chatas. Rav Papa Amar, it's talking about the chiyuv of eating it as by sasheni chutz l'chomat Yerushalayim, you would get malka. So there's lots of different issues that this tziruf would be nogea in terms of a kizayit. And Rava said it's not only in terms of kizayit, it's in terms of kibetza, because the din of tziruf would also be nogea tumas oichlin. And it doesn't mean this particular meaning. It's talking about these particular formats. But kamashmon, tfua and kemach is the same as dough itself. Because how do you measure dough itself? Think about it. Dough itself is 100% food, right? It doesn't have anything in it anymore. After it's been turned into dough, it doesn't have anything in it that's not usable. So if you have tfua, that tfua, initially, it comes with all of the pieces, husks, and other elements that are not edible. So when we're talking about the shear, if it says over here, and this is the main point, if it says over here that you're mitzarif them like you would with dough, so it's telling you that just like the measurement of dough would be in terms of the comestible, 100% comestible, right? Therefore, when you're talking about the oichlin in the shear of tuna, it would also have to be similar to dough, which means that if you're going to be mitzarifit to the kezayit, you cannot include the parts that are not edible. So bran is not going to be acceptable over here, except to Richie. But Botla Daita is a koladam who sits there, puts that much bran into his cereal. And so therefore the bran and the husks, they're not considered to be the same as flour because it's not 100% comestible. And therefore it's not going to be able to be mitzuref to the shear of a kibetza. And the truth is there's a braita that says this. A chita ben kulufa ben sheina kulufa mitzarefet. So a chita does combine with other food, even if it has husks on it. And that's because people will eat whole wheat, and that's not considered to be non-comestible. But if you're talking about barley that's got a husk on it is really not eaten by people. And because of that, if it's not, what do they call that kind of barley where they, you know, they polish it up and they take off the
pearl barley.
So if it's ena kalufa, it is not mitztarif. The husk itself will not be part of your kibetza olchen, which basically says exactly what Rava was teaching us is the point of giving us the different ways that these things are mitzaref. Wait a minute. Is that true? What about that famous, lovely diuk of the Tana Dvei Rabbi Yishmael? It's such a beautiful diuk in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, I'll call Zera Zerua Asher Yizareya. What is that supposed to mean? It says over there, we're talking about what? A nevela ki yipol minivlatam, I'll call Zera Zerua Asher Yizareya. I mean, what in the world? So if nevela touches a Zera, which is planted, which is a type of thing that would be planted, what does that come to tell me? Ah, that says the Tana Dvei Rabbi Yishmael. Tells me beautiful halach that kederek shibnei adam motziim lezri'ah. You're taking out these seeds in order to plant them. Okay, so then that means they are in the normal format that they would be when the farmer goes out to plant. And the dinim of tumah is talking about precisely that stage. That's exactly the opposite of what Rava was saying. Because when somebody goes out to plant, obviously he doesn't take off the husks. Chita beklipata, seora beklipata, adashim beklipata, whatever it is that's considered to be the food stuff that's mekabel tuma, which is what Rava said we're referring to, it says beferish over here that it's mekabel tuma in the natural state which the farmer would have been taking it. Asher Yizareah, what a beautiful meaning to the pasuk. And you can't get a more clear contradiction to what Rava is claiming. Look, Asha, obviously, look, I mean, that was also a brighter, what we said before. We brought a brighter for Rava. Don't attack Rava. So what you got over here is you got a contradiction. Okay, so let's use our brains and figure out where the Torah would be saying the Asher Yizareah and where it would be not. One that we just brought in which it's Asher Yizareah, that's talking about fresh seeds. So if they are lachot, so what did we just learn when we were learning with Richie? Ukatsin, remember, we wouldn't want to forget Richie's guidance in this issue. So what did we learn over there? That there's a tremendous difference between a husk that is a shomer and a husk that's not a shomer. Where is it a shomer? It's a shomer if it is still fresh. But if it's all dried out, it does absolutely nothing for the seed. It no longer is a protection for it. It just crumbles in your hand if you rub it. And that's the difference. If it's a shomer, so then it's mitzarif to the shear. That was the Mishnah Beferish that we had in Uktzin. But the first brayta that we brought the raya to Rava that it's not mitzarif, that's talking about where it's not a shomer and it's yivei shot. And if it's not a shomer, it is not mitzarif. Now let's understand the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, it's Aser Bechadash Lifnei HaOmer. So, okay, so how do we know that only the five minim that are mentioned in the Mishnah, only those five minim are Aser Bechadash, and not what we said about Oraz Vedocha? So how do we know that all of these five are included? We know what I mean. Omer and Shlakish, well, the idea that we had before about the matzah being the source of the din of how we understand lechem in terms of challah is also true in terms of chadash, because we have the lechem oni, and then benogea chadash, we have the lechem, the koli, the charmel, lo tochlu ad etzem ayom hazeh ad aviyachem as korban Elohechem. That was our source pasuk for all of the dinim that we were talking about. So that means the same way that we learned out lechem, lechem, for the idea of the lechem ha'aretz and challah, we, from matzav lechemoni, we learn lechem koli v'charmel in the Isra of Chadash directly from matzav lechemoni. So it's the same gezerah shava that we had before. And then you said it's usher to even harvest them before Pesach. Now, how exactly do we know that there's an isra that you can't even harvest any of these grains? I mean, I understand that. Look, I mean, it says when it comes to the barley, that that is the beginning of your katsira, right? But, I mean, how do you know that that's true about anything? You said any of these minim, you're not allowed to harvest. So how do we know that? Omer Rebbe Yochanan, the same way. Atya reishis reishis michala. Because it said reishit katsirchem. Now, it's true that there it was talking about the Omer, and the Omer is actually only from barley, but remember it uses the same words by Challah when it says Reshit Arisotechem. And we know that the Arisotechem, we learned out from Matzah, from the Gezerah Shava that we had of Lechem Lechem. So even though over here it doesn't say lechem, but it does say reishis reishis. So we first learn out the din of lechem lechem, and then we learn out that just like it says by challah reishis, and we prove that it means any of the types of lechem, which are any of these five minim that are boim lidei chimuds, so too, anything that is boim lidei chimuds is included in the reishis ketzirchem. So even though the Omer itself is not being brought from these other minim, it doesn't matter. All five minim have to be not touched. And I shouldn't say not touched, because remember, we hire all those kids as our pickers, but not actually harvested normally, and therefore we know that also from the challah. Now, when you say that you can't actually eat it before the owner, what do you mean exactly before the owner? So Rabbi Yonah says, well, what he's talking about is before the harvest, the ketziras ha'omer. But once you actually go ahead and you dig the ketzira, the next morning you can already eat, even though you didn't bring the omer. Why? Because he holds like Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish says that la'olam, the iser is only ad v'lo ad b'chlal. And therefore, the iser is only until the morning. I mean, maybe later we have the question of Rabbi Yochanan, but Zakkai and so on. But certainly in the Ikar Adin, once you do the ketzira, you're already, if you did the ketzira at the end of the night, then you would already be able to eat it. That's how Rashi learns. The Tosfos says that's ridiculous. I mean, what if you harvested it the night before? I mean, they didn't say that it's if you harvested it right before the morning that you don't have to wait. They said under any and all circumstances, what Rabbi Yonah is saying over here. If he meant that it's only butter from the morning, he wouldn't have said only from the time of Ketzira. That's very misleading. That could bring people to actually eat Kadosh in the middle of the night and they would think it's butter because Rashi says that that's what Rabbi Yonah means. If he meant the morning, he should have said the morning. Fine, okay. So he doesn't mean that bichlal. But, okay, I mean, other Rishonim say, listen, it's very poshut. When he said Ketzira, he meant the Zmana Ketzira. Didn't mean the actual Ketzira. So the Zman of the Ketzira is the entire night. So as long as it's the Zman of the Ketzira, before the Zman of the Ketzira of the Omer ends, then you can't eat it. But once the Zman of the Ketzira ends, so it's the next morning. Fine. Obviously it has to mean that, because the act of Ketzira is not what's important. Remember, according to Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, if there is no Ketzira Sa'omer because there is no Beis HaMikdash, then it's going to be mutter in the morning. So why would it mean anything but that? It's talking about the Zman of the Ketzira, which is the whole night. Makes a lot of sense. That's Rabbi Yonah's approach. Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavda says, no, before the Omer means before you actually bring the Omer. So then that means, according to him, the halacha is you cannot eat the Korban unless you actually bring the Omer if it's still the 16th, because we're not matir it if it's possible, and that's paskening like Rav Shmuel. So essentially, this machlokas between Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavda is a machlokas we had earlier about whether the beginning of the day is matir or whether the actual Akravas HaKorban is matir, which was the machlokas we had with Rav and Shmuel on one side, the latter halacha, and we had Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan together on the other side, that from the morning it's butter. Now, the question is, how does Rabbi Yonah understand the Lashon in the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah says, Asurim b'chodash lifnei ha'omer, v'liktsar lifnei ha'pesah. So now, let's take a look at how those two approaches fit into the Mishnah. So if you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavda, he said that when it says before the Omer, it means before bringing the Omer. So these are two completely different times, right? And Haina Deloka Arev Luva Tanimahu, because one is referring to the time of the Hakrabas HaOmer, and one is referring to the time of the Ketziras HaOmer. But if you hold, according to Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yonah said that the Kodem HaOmer means Kodem Ketziras HaOmer. So then, basically, it's the same time. Learvino, put the two things together and say that these two things are usher, meaning it's usher and achila because of chadash, and it's usher and ktsira because of reishis ktsirchem before Pesach. But the moment that Pesach, meaning the moment that yontev is completed, so now it would be mutter. So apparently the Mishnah can't work according to Rabbi Yonah.
Last time, Rebbe switched the gears here also, Pesach to Omer.
Yes, yes. It makes me, Rashi brings both, goes through both possibilities. Ela'i itmar, a seifa itma. You're right. Doesn't make sense to say that the machlokas over here between Rabbi Yonah and between Rabbi Yossi bar Zavda is about the beginning. It must have been talking about the last part of the mission. Ela I itma a seifa itma. Im hishrishu kodim la omer. So we said, if it took root before you brought the omer, then the omer is mati. If not, you have to wait till next year. Now that's what they were arguing. What do you mean when you say it took root before the omer? That's the question. What is kodim la omer? So Rabbi Yonah says it means if it took root before you brought the omer. Whereas Rabbi Yossi bar Zavda said, no, the point is that it has to be part of the same katsira, right? So you're supposed to be taking the first katsira of this crop. So now, if this stuff had already taken root and now you took off the omer while it was already growing, then it's considered to be part of what the omer was brought for, because the omer is being brought for the crop out of which it itself was taken. But if those things were not themselves taken root and they only take root 10 minutes later after the omer has already been removed, then you can't say that the katsira of the omer was for them. Therefore, it means, according to Rabbi Yossi bar Zavda, it means kodem katsira sa omer. Omar le Rabbi Elazar. So the question is, what would be the marker? And he said this to Rabbi Yoshia, not to the older Rabbi Yoshia. He said, because he did not speak nicely. He said this to Rabbi Yoshia, who was a contemporary of his. And the word for contemporary, of course, in the Gemara is the dare of his own generation. It was a contemporary Rabbi Yoshia, which was the younger Rabbi Yoshia. And he used the language that you don't say to an Adam Gadol. Don't you put your butt down on the chair until you tell me what this means. So he would never have said that to Rabbi Yoshia. So obviously the Gemara wants to make it clear that he wasn't talking to the older Rabbi Yoshia. So lo teise vakarech adim farashta li lahamas nisen. I want you to explain this Mishnah to me. Minayin laomer shamater bashrosh. Mistakes are granted. That the moment that defines the omer is hashrasha. Where does that come from? Minola. So it's true. You'd think, says Rabbi Yoshia, that it's very simple. I mean, it says aviv. Now, aviv means that it's got to be the omer part has got to be the aviv part. But that means that there's tons, maybe 99%, of the crop is not ready yet. You're only bringing the aviv for the omer, but the rest of it maybe was lav aviv. So it's not ripe. And if it's not ripe, so then that means it was after the hashrashah. Excuse me? What does it mean that? There's an awful lot of stages from the point of hashrashah to aviv. I mean, maybe it means it's, you're right, it's not aviv, but maybe it means it's a third grown. I mean, aviv means it's like really ripe. A third grown is much later than hashrashah. So where'd you get that from? The lav aviv, yes, but liolam da'ayo shlish, it might mean that it has to be a third grown. That can't be the basis. Elam ashmo, I'll tell you. It says, mihachel charmesh bekama. So what does that mean? When you started taking your sickle, and you put it up against that standing plant, that's the part that you're taking for the omer, which is mashma, that there's other plants, lots of other plants, that are not roi yet for chamesh bakama. So they are not mature, which means that they're not yet a third of their growth, because if they would be a third, then you'd be able to cut them also. Because remember, we cut for shachas, we cut things. So, apparently, it has to be referring to something that took root, right? That's the mashmaut. Says the Gemara, that doesn't mean anything. The lav bar charmesh, you're right. There's tons of stuff that's not right for charmesh. But la'olam shachat, I mean, it might be already ready for being eaten by animals. I mean, that doesn't prove hashrasha. There's a long time between hashrasha and where it's ready for animals. So that doesn't prove anything. Okay, says Rabbi Yitzhak, I'll tell you. It says bakama. So now if it's bakama, Me'achel Charmesh Ba'kama. So Kama means that it's already, you could see it standing there. So apparently there's some of the grain that you can't call it standing grain. It just took root. Mashma, that there's Lav Ba'kama. No. Lav Ba'kama means it just took root. Maybe Lav Ba'kama means that it's Agam. Agam means Ke'agmon, right? You can bend it over. But there's still a little bit of leaf there. It's just bendable. You're talking about Hashrusha. There's a long time between taking root and putting out a leaf on the surface. So this doesn't prove it either. Maybe it means Lav Ba'kama Ula Olam Agam. So what makes you think it's Hashrusha? Oh, my Rava. I'll tell you where it all comes from. It comes from Chaga Katsir Bikurei Masecha Asher Tizra Basadeh. That's what it's referring to. So that Chaga Katsir is being referred to whatever is Tizra. And that's when you bring the Omer. So then that means you just put it into the ground and it just took root. Misha'at Zriah. Omer Le'Rav Papa L'Rava, wait a minute. Now you got a problem in the other direction. Because if it says if you just planted it, maybe it doesn't even have to take root. It doesn't say to take root. It says Asher Tizra. So maybe Afagabdalo Yishrish Nami. So maybe even if it didn't take root, it would already be mutter from the Omer as long as it had been planted in the ground. Omar Lay said Rava to Rav Papa with the, we always love calling Rav Papa his double name because he's a Sudani. That doesn't mean he comes from Sudan. It means that he's a beer maker. That's called a Sudani. And he's also Mole with Sod Hashem Li Reyov. So he's the love calling Rav Papa, not only Papa Beer, but Papa Sudani. So this is, I mean, it's obviously not the same as Nifas Yayin Yatzasod, but according to Rav Papa, the best is beer anyway. And therefore, we refer to him to as Sudani. And the solution to your problem is that it says Asher Tizra Basadeh. Basadeh means it's already become part of the Sadeh, which means that it had to have taken root. Otherwise, it's not Basadeh yet. You can't call it attached to the Sadeh.